greetings of love and peace in the precious and worthy name of Jesus. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And I believe this morning I'm blessed that we can be of the called and the chosen, and I trust of the faithful. Been a rich blessing to be involved with this part of God's work, the chorus tour. We have richly, really been blessed and enjoyed our time with the youth. And our theme has been building Christ's kingdom. And recently at home, when the youth sang that song, I just got such an inspiration to preach a message about this. Building Christ's kingdom. I don't know how you feel by now, this part of the service, but I've just been recharged again this morning and have a fresh yearning for heaven. As the youth were singing and lifting their hands, are we looking for him? And that's another part of what something I want to speak about of the message. But first of all, our desire is, as we are on this tour, that God would be honored and glorified. The name of Jesus lifted up. And that's my desire this morning, to lift up the name of Jesus, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. He's the one that died for us, gave his life. He's the one that we live for. He's the one that we're willing to die for. And I'm excited about serving God. This morning, it's just this has been a good experience for me, and I think for all of us, it's just a wonderful experience. And sometimes I thought already, you know, Sunday mornings we sit around and we discuss the Word of God, or we're like on this tour we've shared with each other, we prayed together and sang together and just discussed God's Word. It's a foretaste of heaven. It's just God gives us those times when I think we should have just a deeper longing to go, to leave this earth, even though we have good times too. We think of building Christ's kingdom when we build something or make something. We like to have at least an idea of what it's going to look like. We like to have builders like a blueprint. Want something to go by. We're thinking of building Christ's kingdom, and we know this is spiritual. It's not a literal kingdom that we're going to build here on earth. We have a book of instructions, my friends, this morning, that we can look into every morning and several times in the day. How to build God's kingdom. And God wants us to look into his word. God wants us to keep looking through his word and to find the directions that he has for us. And we find how to get there. And we also read of what happens if we don't follow the instructions, that we won't get there. So we like to see things grow and prosper and be completed. And how much more the kingdom of God. And this morning, as we came here, or as we were coming here, and thinking of the various places we were going, and Lord willing, by tonight sometime, get home again. But God's kingdom throughout the earth. And it's a blessing, as one of the youth boys shared, that we came here with a kindred spirit. I know some of you, not all of you, but I know enough that we have a kindred spirit. We have, I think, the same goal. We're serving the same God. And praise the Lord that we travel around, and this is different this morning than what it was at those youth detention centers. I think there were a few people there, some of the staff that would have professed to be Christians. But those young boys that were there because they got in trouble, they'd messed up their lives. Somehow, we just didn't have quite that kindred feeling that we do this morning. But our hearts went out to that. My heart just went out to them that somehow at least one of them could find Jesus and become a part of his kingdom, be a kingdom builder. And God wants us to be active builders. And I think that's what the love of Christ does in our hearts. When we know what God has done for us and what he is doing for us, and we have that goal of heaven in mind, and we're working towards that goal, then the love of Christ is within our hearts and flows out to others. We see those that are struggling and lost. And we would just, I would have just yearned to go up there and take those boys by the hand. You know, come with us. You know, walk with us. Maybe someday they will. I don't know. We sowed the seed, and God, that's what God, all God told us to do, is to sow the seed. And God will make it to grow. If the heart is receptive. Helping people, pointing them to Christ, leading them to Jesus, is how we build the kingdom of God. Jesus gave us those words we call them the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 18, where Jesus declared that all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And I was blessed with that song. Thank you for singing that song before the message, that we've got the power. I hope you've been praying this morning. Thank you to our youth group for praying. Mention was made to pray for the message this morning. Thank you for that. And keep praying. But Jesus here says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And then after he ascended into heaven, and the Holy Spirit was given to man. Now we can sing that song with joy that we have the power to do what he wants us to do. For he says then, to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And the blessed promise, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I believe someone has said already, here where it says, go ye therefore, in our language would mean as you go. So whatever you're doing, as you go. And I thought of the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Gives us that thought, gives that instruction. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, it says, Hear, O Israel. And I would like to paraphrase that just a little bit. Hear, O church. And I'd just like to emphasize that to the church here at Strawberry, to the church in Dixon, my fellow brothers and sisters, to all the churches of God. Hear, O church. The Lord our God is one Lord. And now the instruction to us. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Everything that's within us, God wants us to love him. In verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Now this is part of kingdom building to you young fathers and mothers. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, day and night. And I know we're not always talking about the Bible as such, yet I believe our little children need to hear those Bible stories. They need to be taught about Jesus at a young age. But as you go, as you meet others, as you meet those that haven't been raised in Christian homes, maybe in prisons, or like young boys that we met here the other day, as we meet each other, to encourage each other. I need that from time to time. I need that all the time. Encouragement from my brothers and sisters. What a blessing that is. It just doesn't give us any room to quit, but to keep on encouraging one another, and to keep on being a light for Christ. I know I've shared this before already at home in different places, but I'll just share it again because it just blesses my heart to think of building Christ's kingdom and as being a light to the world. You know, Jesus called us to be a light. To be a light to the world and a salt of the earth. Thank you. And how do we, you know, that's how, and again, just back to the love of Christ within our hearts. And we know what it is to be a Christian. We know what it is to experience this, what the choir was singing about the altar. We know what it is to be miserable and to be under conviction, to be scared, maybe to be afraid to go to sleep at night. But then when we finally come to the foot of the cross, the altar, and we just surrender that part that in that song, that old man that was giving up a part of him that he held back for years, we confess our sins and our sins are forgiven. The blood of Christ then washes them away. We become born again, as we say. And then that love fills our hearts. And then we're just thinking about building God's kingdom, the community here in Strawberry, I don't know how wide you're spread, but every home that's represented here is a little light. And you're shining throughout this community. And I've been in various different communities. I've heard this testimony that the local people have said, since y'all are here, it's a better place to be. Things have changed. Praise the Lord for that, not to us. And I think if people commend us on that, we should just point them to Jesus. It's because of God in our hearts. It's because that we love God. We want to serve Him. And it's the love of Jesus just reflecting out of our lives. And then all those lights combined as a church. And a great light. And people observe this and they're just in awe. And it's, again, I mentioned to start with, having a view of the finished product. We know that this kingdom is not a product as such, but I think we get enough of description and vision of heaven that we have an idea of what we're living for, what we're waiting to die for. And so we work for that. And I believe that God reveals those things to us in His Word, giving us something, a glimpse of eternity, making us want to go there. And sometimes, as has been said already, we do have maybe some hard days. Maybe things don't go well. Maybe we get discouraged. Or maybe we are so tempted that we fall, we fail. And we just feel bad about that. And we should. I think that's the grace of God that gives us that conviction that we feel bad when we fail. But there's a way back. I'm so blessed that as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10, I thought I could quote that verse, but it's just... 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." We keep striving and working and anticipating. We have that goal in mind, that heavenly goal, that sometime when God is done with us on this earth, or Jesus comes again, that we can go there. Several songs that I've been blessed with, that the youth have been singing, and that phrase of a song that we look, we long, we watch, we wait for you. And I've asked myself, you know, when things are going well, things are going well for us, and we're enjoying life, maybe sometimes I kind of forget about that longing and that watching, because we're enjoying this life. And I believe that's all right. God wants us to enjoy life. God doesn't want us to just being a drudgery and miserable all the time. He wants us to have the joy of the Lord. That's our strength. But even when we're all, maybe say we're all together as a church family, or our literal families, and we're just having a good time, I believe those times are a foretaste of heaven. And God wants us to still keep looking and longing, watching, waiting, because someday He's going to come again. Someday Jesus is going to come again. And then the last psalm was echoes from the throne. Saints of the earth join saints around the throne. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm anxious to go. I'm anxious to be there when my work here is done. Jesus said that the angels that He doesn't know, and the angels in heaven don't know when the time will be that He will come again. I would just like to take us to Acts, the first chapter, and look at that account where Jesus ascended up into heaven. Acts chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in His own power." Again here, Jesus is saying basically what we just said. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Again, part of that commissioning, and I believe the institution of the church. That's why we have churches, because of God, of God's representatives on earth. It's not just for a social get-together. It is for our social life. I believe our social life should circle around the church, should circle in the church. But much more than that, it's to be a representative of God on earth. Verse 9, it says, "And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. While they looked steadfast toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." Awesome. Who imagine standing around Jesus and just listening to His wonderful words, and all of a sudden here He starts going up. I don't know how far He went up. It says a cloud received Him out of sight. He was gone. I can just imagine the disciples just standing there just gazing, just maybe trying to get one more glimpse of Him. And I've had to challenge myself, do I sometimes just gaze at the clouds and seeing if I can get a glimpse of Jesus? Someday, it tells us that as they have seen Him go, I take that someday maybe the clouds are going to part and Jesus is going to be coming. Paul gives us a little bit of a description of that in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Verses 13 through 18, where he gives us a description of what to look for. And if we would read in Matthew, the 24th and 25th chapters, Jesus gives us signs to look for. And, it seems like in reading through that we would say we're in the last times. He could come anytime. 1 Thessalonians verse 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe," I want us to get this, "if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself," here He gives us a description of what's going to happen, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. A lot of times the scripture is used at a funeral, at a burial, but I think it's for us today this morning. Comfort one another with these words. Let's be encouraged with these words. And it's not going to be a one, is anybody wondering, I believe, what's happening when the clouds part and that shout is given. I just believe that everyone, the Christian as well as the non-Christian, is going to know that Jesus is coming. This is it. This is the end. It's all over. But those that are Christ's children, says that we will rise to be in the air. Wonderful. Jesus is coming again. He is coming again. It's not just maybe, he might, but he is coming again. And that's what we have to live for. That's why we want to build his kingdom on earth. That it should, we should have that same burning in our hearts that Jesus does, that not one soul be lost. The Bible tells us that many will be, but may we gather in as many as we can by the grace of God. I believe that we need to be a part of the kingdom here. You know, God has a kingdom here. We need to be a part of that kingdom here in order to help build. And that is brought spelled out to us in John, the 3rd chapter. The first step in helping to build is becoming a part of that kingdom. And it's a very familiar passage. We're all familiar with that today. We're not as Nicodemus was in this discourse when Jesus told him in verse 3, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus asked this question, how can a man be born when he is old? You know, if this would be the first time that we would hear these words, we would probably ask some of the same questions. And Jesus, how can this be? He says, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And then Jesus said again, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. It's a spiritual process. He says he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And that's the first step in becoming a part of the kingdom of God here on earth. Being born again. Being done with self. Being willing to lay down our lives for the cause of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I so enjoy communion services to commemorate the suffering and death of Jesus. And I don't know if you do, but if you, I would just encourage us, whenever we come to those times in our lives, in our church services, I just like to take the Bible and just read those accounts and meditate. I think it's good for us. And to just meditate how Jesus suffered. All that he suffered. And just try to imagine the pain that he endured. But not only that, he cried out those last words that he cried out, the separation from God. We know what it was like to be separated from God, to be not at peace with God. Sometimes it's good for us to just go back in memory a little bit. And just not stay there long, but just again remember what we've been lost from, or what we've been saved from when we were lost. Active in building the kingdom of God. Ephesians, the second chapter, gives us a description of what we were like and what we can be now. It says in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That's why boys get into prison. That's why people get into trouble. Following the voice of the power of the air, the evil one. Listening to that voice that was telling Jonah to run. That's the children of disobedience. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Oh, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I just love this scripture. It's just brings out the truth. It's not of ourselves. It's not what we have done or are doing that we're saved. It's by grace. It's because of the love of God. We are his workmanship. And I believe as we come to the end of ourselves, we repent, we're born again, we give our lives into God's hands, we become his workmanship. He makes of us what he wants us to be. And as we are yielded to him, that we can then be a vessel that he can use to build his kingdom. That's what he wants. The kingdom of God is alive here on earth. It's called the church. And in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, it speaks about Christ being the head of the church. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Then he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Then he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." I think if we could just get in our hearts what really Christ is looking for in our lives and in his church, we wouldn't have trouble. But that's part of the challenge. I think that we're made different so that we learn to relate to each other. We learn to love each other despite some of the differences. And we can work together. We can blend together. That the light's not dimmed. That we're not as a dirty mirror. You know, if a mirror is just all smudged up and dirty, it doesn't give us brighter reflection as if it's all nice and clean. I have a copy of that song, the second song that the chorus sang, "Build Your Kingdom Here." And as I read across this, they got this inspiration of God's kingdom here, called the church. And I read across this, and it just all at once jumped out to me that this is a prayer. And as I read across this, I'm going to read this song. Am I really willing? Can I pray this from my heart? Am I really willing to do what it says here? Am I willing to allow God, what this prayer says, to do what this prayer says? Invites God to us. Says, "Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again.
Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. The second verse says, we seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. And the testimony given of, I'm sure it was the before or after that song, I find this really something for me to work at. That we truly hunger and thirst, we seek God's kingdom first, refuse to waste our lives. You know, if our goal is to just work up a kingdom here on earth, to just lay up a big bank account or accumulate a lot of earthly things, I think we're wasting our lives. Yes, we need to live. I think we need to work. We need to live. We need to provide for ourselves. And I think if God, we need to desire to have God bless us that we can help others. Not saying that we should just sit around, but we refuse to waste our lives. Maybe more on the side of lust of our flesh. Just things that are for our own carnal pleasure. It says your joy and our pride and prize. To see the captives' hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth. Revive. You know, I don't think God's going to revive the lower earth. But I think God wants his church to be revived. And as the chorus then mentions, to set our hearts on fire. The third verse says, unleash your kingdom's power. And you know that we have a part to do in that. In order for God to unleash his kingdom's power, we're going to have to open our hearts and allow him to do what he wants to do in our lives. Unleash your kingdom's power, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here, we pray. That's my desire for every church that's represented here. There are several represented here this morning, and I'm glad that for each one that's here. May that be our prayer, our heart's desire, that for revival in our hearts personally, in our churches, build your kingdom here. Are you willing to pour out your very life into Christ's church? Sometimes church activities make us tired. Sometimes we think it's about enough. And sometimes your ministers get tired. But are we willing to pour our lives out for the church? That's something that is I've had to tell myself when we thought it's about enough. You know, we've been gone maybe several weeks, several nights in a week, and there's just, we get tired. But you know, when we stop and think, it's for Christ, his church. It's not for ourselves. It's not about us. It's for Christ and his church. That just gave me strength. If we want a home in heaven, that's what God is asking of us. Just to pour our lives. Yet, we need to take care of domestic things. We can't just ignore things at home and think that everything's going to be all right. He who wants to be a disciple of Jesus must take up the cross and follow Jesus. Talk his talk and walk his walk. Exercise the fruits of the Spirit. Peace, joy, love, long-suffering. How does it say there?
love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That's the fruit that God is looking for in each of our lives. And if we would take just the time to slowly read across that verse and to just look, use that as a mirror in my life and in your life. Is that what God is seeing? Is that what I'm seeing? Sometimes, too many times, I don't see all of that. There's other things there. But my desire is, and I trust that's each of our desire, that the fruits of the Spirit would just be alive and growing in each of our lives. I'd like to leave you with just the encouragement in 1 Corinthians 15. It's always an encouragement to these verses. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 57 and 58. It says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know, heaven's going to be worth it all. I'm convinced. It's going to be worth it all. So let's encourage each other. Let's build together. Let's stand together. That the forces of darkness would fear. And that Satan can be overcome. Let's stand for word of prayer.